from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? It is the Go Birds Podcast. No James Seltzer today. He's off just dominating the world as he normally does. But we do have our guy back, the special guest from yesterday. Even more special to have him today. Brandon Lee Gowen with us. What up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, hello to you, ESP. Hey, hello to the listeners in lieu of James not being here. excited to be back.
You're going to have to, I think, maybe try the James voice, you know, just like do the yelling, say training camp doesn't matter. Like, you know, just the stuff James brings to the pod. But no, in all seriousness, thank you again for coming in. We were both at practice today. I said before the pod, like, there is a lot to get into. So as much as I said it before the pod, I don't know if I believe it, but I have 12 things that I kind of want to talk about today. But overall, I thought just a very like surgical, regular practice. Like there was the injury at then, which we'll get into, to Jeremiah Trotter Jr. But before we get into the specifics and really kind of break down Jalen and everything, just what'd you think of the second day of practice?
I think Jalen was the consistency from day one is kind of the highlight of it. And I think the importance of that too, just the ability of stacking days. But I guess outside of him, I think my big theme here is the ongoing training camp battles that are, again, like I said yesterday, like truly battles. Like there's truly like rotations going on. Like today, for the first time, for example, we saw John Ross, the first team offense, instead of Paris Campbell as the wide receiver three. You know, we saw even, you know, like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. before he got hurt was repping in with the first team a little bit at certain points. They're truly like kind of testing out a lot of different things.
Yeah, there does seem a willingness, and I don't know if it was there last year because the side did really rotate guys in and out. There wasn't as much on the offense, but there does seem a willingness this year to try different combinations, to put different guys in. I mean, last year, if you remember, Jalen Carter, I don't think got reps with the ones until maybe 3 or 4 days in. They really kind of slow played the rookies last year. So to get Trotter Jr. in that early, I agree, is noteworthy. Vic Fangio said before practice that he'll play him. Like he doesn't have if you're a rookie, you have to bide your time type of thing. If you're the best player, you'll get in there. I'm happy you brought up John Ross because, not going to lie, I left yesterday a little discouraged from the offseason. I thought he had an awesome offseason. And then day one, it didn't look like he was much involved. So to see him with the first team really was encouraging. So I want to get into all the position battles after we talk about who's always, you know, the biggest story of the day, the quarterback, the franchise guy, Nick Sirianni's best friend. What did you think of Jalen Hurts today in his second practice?
Yeah, a lot more of the same from day one in terms of he was efficient. I think you have the stats, 15 to 17?
Yep.
So the ball has not been hitting the ground other than, you know, a drop or whatever. He's just been extremely efficient. And also quick decision-making, which I was really harping on coming off of last season where his average time to throw dipped down from like 2.8 seconds in 2022, where it had improved from 2021 back to where it kind of was in 2021. And I think, you know, just thinking about last year's training camp too, Like so many plays where Hurts is just holding on to the ball for a long time. And I think he's been decisive not only as a passer, but as a runner as well. When he's taken off like running, it's not just because like, oh, there's nothing there and now I'm going to kind of take off. And it's kind of like a BS training camp play anyway, because the defense can't hit him. Now he's like taking off with a purpose. And there's one play today that I think fans will love when it comes to, you know, the pre-snap motion of it all. We saw Saquon Barkley lined up out wide to the left. He came in motion across the formation, and then Jalen Hurts ran exactly to the space that Saquon had just vacated for like a big gain. And I think not only is Hurts like running often and whatnot, let me know if you agree with this, I think Jalen Hurts looks faster, which, you know, like, it should make sense, right? I guess healthier, but like it's noticeable to me that he looks faster.
So I would agree he looks fast. And I think that when he takes off, I did think he looked kind of slimmer at his press conference yesterday. And I don't think he's like lost muscle or anything. He just looks very toned down, kind of maybe towards the end of last year, how he looked. My thing with Jalen is he always looks fast in the offseason. I feel like every year when we do this, it's, oh, he looks awesome. And he does. Like, he does look awesome. So we'll see if he can keep that up through week 6 or 7. The motion thing you brought up about Saquon, and there was some motion yesterday. They're practicing motion in the running back drills. I am genuinely surprised how much motion I'm seeing through two practices. Like, I really am. Like, I thought it would be mostly like lip service. Yeah, we're going to change things up and blah, blah, blah. It seems significant. Like, there is way more motion than there used to be. Dallas Goedert said after practice today that, you know, he touched on it and how he does think it's putting stress on the defense and it's helping them pick up cues from the defense. And not only that, he said like they're getting defenders out of position. Like, they're getting linebackers in places that you know, the defense doesn't want him because of the motion. But yeah, so I think the motion has been impressive. And to your point about Jalen, you know, it's so true what you say about how it feels like there's fewer blown snaps or dead plays in training camp than there was last year. I was up in the stands today, and John Ritchie, obviously former Eagle, morning show host, was there with me for a little bit. And he was saying that, like, in 7-on-7s, the ball should always be thrown. There should never be an excuse not to have it thrown. And we talked about that yesterday. And that was an issue in training camp. Like, it felt like, in OTAs, that they didn't really know what they were looking. It looked like they were learning a new offense. To me, it looks like they know the offense now. And I'm sure there's still more to learn and still work they're going to have to do. But again, the ball is not hitting the ground. Like, I have Jalen, I think, at 30 of 33 through 2 days, and the three incompletions have all been drops. Like, there have not been errant throws. There's not been plays where, to your point, Jalen just runs off to the side. Doesn't really look like anyone knows what's going on. He runs it, but no one really hits him. I mean, he has 54 reps through camp so far, and I really can't think of maybe more than one or two where it feels like, all right, this play is basically blown dead.
Yeah, and I will say they haven't really opened it up a ton yet downfield. Mm-hmm. There was a nice completion today to, you know, A.J. Brown that I thought Hurts, it was his highlight, really probably the highlight of a practice that was not necessarily full with a ton of highlights. For sure. But when he was able to drop it in the bucket down the right sideline to A.J. Brown in 7-on-7 with Darius Slay trailing a little bit behind. So we've seen, you know, more than none, but I'd like to see, you know, how that maintains, obviously, with kind of like a higher level of difficulty as some of these passes. I'm sure we'll see that over the course of training camp. There's been a lot of short stuff, which is fine. Not a criticism. It's not bad, but it's just like, you know, you will want to see some of those downfield throws mixed in there, and they will be, I'm sure. But I mean, the time to throw thing, like, Doug Musmeier brought that up, like, in the offseason, like, they wanted that to be quicker. And again, I don't think it's like a direct correlation of the faster you get rid of the ball, you're the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, it's not a one for one like that. Lamar Jackson typically has, you know, a slow time to throw because he can do what he does. You don't want to neuter Jalen Hurts' ability to go off script entirely, but you have to have more structure, I think, than you did clearly last year. And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think sometimes with camp, like, when a narrative builds, you kind of then look for it in camp. So, you know, I think watching Jalen, to me, even just how he looks in the pocket, to me, it looks like he is going through his progressions. It doesn't look like it is a one read thing. I feel like I have a very vivid, like, image of Jalen in this camp so far of kind of bouncing as he goes through his progressions. And then if nothing is there, he throws it to Saquon. And I think the numbers back that up. If you look at how involved Saquon's been, he had the most catches of any running back on day one. I think he had three more today. You mentioned the play where he split out. So there's just not as many plays. Like, in fact, I think Kenny Pickett is rolling out a lot more than Jalen is. Like, I don't think that Jalen has looked like, you know, if the protection's not there, he's just ducking his eyes and going. And I have this like expression in my head, or this thing I think could define Jalen. I'm curious if you agree with it. Like, I don't think he's been special through 2 days, but I don't think he has to be special for this offense to be special. I think he has to be efficient. I think he has to just be like normal in a way. Just sit back there, get the ball out, let the players make the plays. He doesn't have to put on his Superman cape. And I think last year, coming off of 2022, where he almost won MVP, you know, he had all like the new commercials and all that, like, all new contract. I thought he tried to play hero ball a little too much at times last year. But I think this year so far, he looks more like he's just going to be, you know, the coach on the field, the sit back in the pocket and spread it around.
Yeah, I think it's a balance. Like I was saying, you don't want to neuter that playmaking ability entirely. But I think what you're talking about, like, that should be like the baseline. Like, that should be the foundation of Jalen Hurts's game. And that should be like kind of the bread and butter. And then, you know, if the defenses are kind of going to be sitting on those kind of shorter passes or be really aggressive, well, then maybe it's time for him to adjust and, you know, make a big play and opening things up downfield a little bit more. I'm sure there's, you know, an adjustment when that's appropriate to make. But yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing him be really efficient and to a point about, you know, how much truly is Kellen Moore, you know, making an impact here. I think it's significant. Like, the thing you're going back to with the pre-snap motion, that how big of a factor it's been. Like, that is not, I think a lot of that is Kellen Moore and his influence. Sure. And not only just Kellen, but also like Kellen and the emphasis on like Jalen needing to be willing to work with that too. Cause I'm sure, you know, some of what Sirianni is doing in the past is catering to Jalen, and maybe too much, maybe, you know, again, trying to bring it back to where the system is actually working in place too, and not just the quarterback. So I definitely think Kellen Moore's influence has been apparent early on here.
Yeah, and I think what's been impressive so far is while they're implementing all this motion, they're implementing new plays, they're implementing like changes, I don't think they've looked sloppy. Like, I haven't seen like substitution issues. I haven't seen like guys running into each other. I haven't seen plays that were blown dead. The only kind of nitpicking I could do is, and Jordan Mailata talked about this, he did jump off sides on the first snap of practice yesterday. I think they had 3 offsides yesterday. I think they only had 1 today. I couldn't tell if it was offense or defense that jumped off, but there was 1 play where they jumped off sides. I think Jurgen snaps at times have been a little high, but for a team that's really like implementing a massive change just with the motion, I think, you know, we could do the whole 95%. What percent is it? Like, there is still stuff from last year, but when you're moving before the snap and, you know, guys aren't used to doing that, it has the potential to be ugly, at least early on as you're learning it. And I don't think they've looked sloppy at all. I remember last year at the beginning of training camp vividly, and I don't remember if you were standing next to me, Sirianni yelling at the players and saying sloppy mistakes are going to have us lose games to bad teams. And frankly, that ended up happening. They were sloppy. They made bad mistakes and they lost to bad teams. I think they've been much crisper through 2 practices than they were last year.
Overall, I would agree. There was a moment today, I think, where it was like Joseph Ngata and maybe Paris Campbell or someone. They kind of were like confused about who was supposed to go in motion or when.
Oh yes, I remember the snap.
But that's also like
pointing. Yeah.
That's an exception to the rule, like you're talking about, and that's also the downside. Emotion, like that's part of why it's not like infallible, the cure-all magical thing. Like, there's going to be a downside to it sometimes, and that's the downside. And if it's more positive than negative, then yeah, you'll live with that. And I think it has been for the Eagles so far. But that's, you know, it's fair to acknowledge. Okay, that's the downside of it.
So I looked up my training camp stats from last year compared to this year. And last year through 2 practices, Jalen had 17 completions on 24 attempts. This year, he's 30 of 33. So he has almost twice as many completions through 2 practices that he did last year. And then to correlate that, or, you know, the flip side of it is, I feel like they're running the ball in practice less than they were last year through the first few practices. I went and I looked, and this isn't a perfect science because there could be other plays in there. But of the 42 snaps Jalen took last year through 2 practices, 24 of them were attempts. So it's possible it was a called pass and he ran, but 24 attempts. And then this year it's 54 plays and 33 attempts. So he's around 62% of the time when they run a play, he's throwing it. And it was around 57, 56% last year. So it doesn't sound like a huge increase, but I think it's noticeable that they are throwing the ball more through 2 days than they were last year. I think they're really taking the time to work on these new passing concepts and really get things going.
I think that's fair to say. And I think part of the increase there is also just, it feels like to me, there's just more reps happening. Like the pace of these practices.
I have that too. So go ahead. But then I
Been like, it's been like Chip Kelly. Like it's reminding me of the Chip days in terms of how there's tempo. And I don't know if this is like an actual thing. I thought the PHLY guys made an interesting point. I was listening to their show talking about how, like, it seems like there's more of an emphasis on conditioning. And we saw that again today where after a lot of these series, you have the entire unit, whoever's on the field, like sprinting down to the end zone at the end of the drill, where that was not happening in the past. So I don't know if that's, you know, again, just kind of a coincidence or more of a concerted effort kind of thing happening. But it seems like there's more tempo, not only with the offense, but like the pace of practice as a whole and with conditioning being a big focus.
100%. So I went and I looked, and last year through two practices, the first team offense ran 42 plays. This year through two practices, they're at 54, which is that's almost an extra team period per day that they're doing. And I do think it's not really coming at the expense of the second team, because Mariota threw 2 days last year, 31 reps, Pickett is 32. So that's roughly the same. The third team is working less, in my opinion, than they were last year. But to what you said about Chip and the tempo, the practices aren't longer than they were last year. They went a little longer today. They're just moving faster, and they're getting more reps going. I agree with your point about conditioning. Jordan Davis talked about that after practice today, about how he feels he's in good shape, but he has to get in football shape. Vic Fangio talked about how Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis looked good for their first day, because he talked before practice. I wonder if they think they fell apart at the end of last year because of conditioning. That wouldn't be my top reason, but the Eagles are one to overcorrect. I think sometimes somewhat overcorrect when they have an issue. And so maybe they do feel conditioning was an issue last year at the end.
Yeah, I think that's apparent too, like the medical staff changes that they made. I do think they think that's relevant. So that is interesting to see the difference there with how fast they're going and the tempo and everything. I have another point on this, but I forgot. So let's go to the next thing. And maybe I can
remember. I have one, and hopefully you can remember. I do hate, I will say, when I have a point and like I'm holding it, and then just because I can only imagine all the great points and takes I've forgotten. But so the other takeaway I had, and I'm curious if you agree with this, it feels like they're spreading the ball around a lot more. I have a memory of through 2 days last year thinking AJ Brown was going to like set the record for catches in a training camp, and he was getting six, seven targets each day. Like, I think he had 11 catches through their first two practices last year. You know, when I walk off the field and I think about who stood out, and they just asked me on WIP, it doesn't feel like any one skill position player is dominating. Yeah. Like AJ's looked awesome. Devontae, I thought, had a catch today that's probably the catch of training camp. I think you were on the sideline, so I don't know if he like got his foot in, but the pass from Jalen was out of bounds.
I think he was out. Intentionally.
What?
Yeah. I don't think Devontae got his feet in, but
you don't. Yeah. Well, but the catch itself was impressive. So he threw it. Jalen threw it out of bounds, I think intentionally. Right. So Devontae could be the only one to get it. He stretched out. But outside of that, I don't know if there's been a dominant player. And I think that's a good thing. Like, it's not the Saquon show. It's not the AJ show. It's not the Goddard show. Because frankly, unfortunately for him, it's never the Goddard show. But I think they've done a really good job spreading the ball around.
I would agree with that assessment. I think my point from before was that I think this increased tempo thing might also kind of be their version of the answer to, because there was all the talk about they need to practice harder, they're not practicing enough. Mm-hmm. I don't think they want to tweak that too much. So I think they're kind of looking, okay, how can we tweak it without actually, doing, which is not allowed anymore, but like two-a-days or getting moving all the way on that kind of end of the spectrum. I think they're just thinking of how can we make more use of this practice time. And I think they've ramped up the intensity.
I also wonder if, because I don't know if you agree with this yet, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but I think they could like set the record for times blitzed in the first three games. Like, I think they are going to get brought, like the defense are going to come after them. And if we agree that last year, their problem toward the end of the year was handling the blitz, whether that's coaching, players, execution, whatever, one way to stop a team from running exotic blitzes at you is to not allow them to sub and to not have much time in between the snaps. So I wonder if by doing this tempo and feeling like they're going to get things going, they think teams are going to be in more like traditional base defenses, and that'll be A, harder to blitz out of, but B, easier for like Jalen, Cam Jurgens, and this offensive line to decipher early on, because defenses won't be able to have, the full time in between each snap.
I think it's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't really considered that angle to it, but I think there's absolutely truth in that. One of many factors why I think tempo seems to be like a very good thing for Jalen Hurts, among mm-hmm. other reasons, him just being in a rhythm. Like, I think that's been apparent in these practices. Like, he's been able to kind of get in a rhythm and just feel comfortable, and it doesn't feel disjointed at all. And obviously, you can't just do tempo nonstop all the time. Mm-hmm. Chip Kelly,
style.
But I think it's been underutilized as a tool for them. And I think, yeah, we're seeing the multiple benefits of that. And to your point again about like spreading the ball around, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of funny. Like for me, for my practice notes, I'm playing Green Nation. You know, I'm not like, for the most part, unless it's a really highlight play, like tweeting about writing notes about AJ or Devontae, it's like, yeah, we already know they're good. Mm-hmm. You kind of graduate out of that. But yeah, I think it's been distributed well. And that's important because, as I kind of said yesterday, like Jalen Hurts and why I thought Paris Campbell, that connection on day one was so significant, is that Hurts, as in the past, has not trusted everyone and has sometimes been keen to lock in on a certain player, AJ mostly. And that kind of needs to change sometimes.
So we talked about Jalen overall. I know on Bleeding Green Nation, you're doing the thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumb mm-hmm. sideways, thumbs down. I give him an A today. I mean, he's 15 out of 17, no interceptions, no turnovers through two practices, and really no close turnovers that I can think of. Mm-hmm. What'd you give him today?
Yeah, it's another thumbs up from me.
Two for two.
Good start. Not the double thumbs up. That's a rare achievement that we'll see if he can, you know, a rare prestige that he can earn. But yeah, again, just efficient, looks in control out there, fast, making fast decisions. Very encouraged by his start.
So tell me if you think this is an overreaction, which I'll be honest, I can be prone to sometimes. Like through two practices, I just really think they love Mekhi Becton more than they like Steen. Mm-hmm. Just the vibe I get, like the way they use him, they move him all around the line. I know he threw up yesterday, which is not ideal. But when they talk about Steen, and I can't remember if we brought this up on the pod, I think we might have.
Yeah.
He just feels like an afterthought to me. He doesn't feel like someone they're in love with. And when they talk about Becton, and granted, they didn't talk about him today, so I'm not using that off today. But just being at practice, seeing him around the other offensive linemen, he's maybe their biggest offensive lineman, which is really saying something compared to what they already have. If you have Becton in there, I think you have arguably like one of the biggest offensive lines of the past 10 years in terms of athleticism. I look at the rest of their line, and Stoutland talks about this, how they want special qualities in their linemen. Like Lane Johnson, obviously a ton of special qualities. Mailata, we know what his special qualities are. He's massive and he's still very athletic. Cam Jurgens today had a snap where it was like a design quarterback run, and he's not faster than Jalen, but he pulled and was like running right with him. Like that's his special quality. Landon Dickerson, special size, all those things. Like Becton is special, like a special quality. And the more I'm around him, I think he's going to be the guy over Steen. I don't see how they start and have Becton on the sideline.
I think it's entirely possible. I was trying to watch Steen a little bit more closely intentionally today, mm-hmm. and I didn't really see any issues. So I don't think he's struggling by any means, but I do think that, you know, there's something to, like you're saying, Becton's ability and size and all of that, and how that could be maybe special.
Yeah.
At the very least, too, I know, like, Lane Johnson, there was some, like, Brian Baldinger put this out there last year. Like, Lane was, like, a little, I think, kind of, not, I don't want to say concerned in terms of panicked, but, like, the idea of Cam Jurgens, who's smaller, you know, moving to guard, I think that was kind of, like, a question mark for Lane. I think Lane likes playing next to a really big guard to kind of, you know, help him out there.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, that three there, having last year in terms of Jason Kelce, an undersized center, and now, you know, Cam Jurgens, a relatively kind of smaller guy.
Sure.
Like to have that hulking guard in there, I think that kind of just bridges the gap nicely.
So there is nothing more exciting on Twitter sometimes than when Brian Baldinger does a video about the offensive line, and it just feels like you're getting Lane's honest opinion. I can just picture them in the barn working out, like just, you know, here's what we think, and I'm going to pretend I'm saying it. So I agree. That is interesting. And, you know, I do think, too, there is an element to this of, like, Becton was a former top pick. Like, even when he talks, and this isn't the end of the world, I'm curious if you feel this way, but I always think the best offensive linemen are the most vocal and, like, they're confident. And the linemen I've covered that have been their best have been loud and, like, had personality. And Becton has that. Steen is very quiet. So I just wonder, like, from the other offensive linemen, if they're like, if they look, and Vic Fangio said this today, talking about camp battles, which I want to get into now, but like they answer themselves, the players know. And I just wonder if in that offensive line room, they look around and they go, that guy was a former top 10 pick that's ultra athletic, that's playing every position. This guy last year played one game, not that talkative, and like wasn't that good. So I think that might end up figuring itself out. But the other position battles I want to get into, I think there's the two main ones, but Rodgers and Ringo. Ringo started today with the first team defense. It feels like they're doing the most shuffling there. Would you agree with that? I think there's more at corner than there is at linebacker.
I would say it's similar, but yeah, they're certainly. And again, like, okay, yeah, Ringo was in the first team and 11 on 11, but then you had Rodgers there, which was the opposite of what was on Wednesday in seven on, he was the first up. And then later in practice, Slay wasn't even out there. I'm guessing.
I was going to say, someone told me that. So you saw a snap without Slay?
I saw multiple, yeah. My I didn't see where Slay was standing, but my read on that is like, you know, Slay has been, he's a veteran player. He doesn't need to take every single rep. I was guessing they're just, you know, giving him some rest.
Yeah, no, I agree. So where are you at through 2 days with the Rodgers versus Ringo? Do you feel like there's a favorite? Like, what's your read on it?
I thought Rodgers had a really impressive moment in practice where it was Tyrion Davis-Price who broke off like a big run at one point, and Price was running like full speed to the end zone. And here you have Isaiah Rodgers like coming all the way down to track him down from behind. Didn't tackle him, obviously. It's not a contact setting, but he got like as close as he could just to show that he could be in position to do that. And like, I just think the way Rodgers moves, and I felt this way in the spring too, it's impressive to me. Like, he's such a fluid and fast mover that I just continue to be impressed by him. We haven't really seen, I think, Rodgers or Ringo really like do much in terms of like breaking up passes like the way we were seeing in the spring. So it's not like they've been amazing and jumped out with ball production. But I personally, I'm just continuing to ride the Isaiah Rodgers train until the wheels fall off.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I told James he's the guy I'm planting my flag the most for since Jordan Matthews. So I am like in on Isaiah.
Oh, no.
I know. I know.
Jordan Matthews still going strong in Panthers training camp.
Dude, he's like, you know, a top 30 tight end in the NFL right now. So, you know, he has made the transition. But so I think part of the reason we haven't seen Rodgers or Ringo really stand out is most of Jalen's passes, I think, are like checkdowns or.
Yeah.
Passes where there's like he's not throwing many 50-50 balls, so guys are getting open, and like I think the offense is ahead of the defense at this point, which is kind of rare, I will say, through 2 days of camp. But yeah, I don't think either have really stood out. The sense I get, just like my tea leaf reading, is I think the Rodgers versus Ringo competition is far more legit than the Zach Bond linebacker thing. Like, I know N'Kobe got snaps there today, and again, N'Kobe didn't stand out at all, but to me, it feels like N'Kobe gets throwaway snaps. He gets 7-on-7. Like, I don't think, like, when they start a significant drill where it's like the beginning of ones versus one, 11-on-11, it is always Bond out there. Whereas they seem much more willing to like mix and match with the corners.
I think there's been mixing and matching the linebackers, though. I mean, you know, we've seen N'Kobe Bond, we've seen N'Kobe White, we've seen White Bond as the consistent first 11 on 11 team, to your point, though, in fairness to Bond and White there. They've definitely been at the top. Although, you know, again, we also saw Jeremiah Trotter Jr. rotated more sparingly. That was always like the last rep or whatever series they were doing. Like, they would give him one, which I still think is a really good sign for a young player like that. But it's not like, you know, he's on equal footing with the any of those top three guys, I would say. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I've seen N'Kobe do anything still here in practice.
It's unbelievable.
It's just like, do one thing. Just like literally do one thing and nothing.
And I know that, and James' argument is always, and I think there's truth to it, that he's just not a practice player. He's better when the pads are on. And you've seen that a little bit. Like, to defend James, it has happened a little bit. Like, he came in against the Titans that 1 year, I think it was 2022, and he, like, you know, had a few really good tackles. Last year in preseason games, he had that, like, forced fumble, if I'm not mistaken. So there have been signs of where if you play him with pads on in a game, he shines more. The issue is he has to win the job in practice. And, like, he's not been that special in practice. Like, and, you know, we talked about the offensive line with, like, the special qualities. Zach Bond, to me, has a size, like a special quality of size and athleticism at that position. I think you can do more with him. Like, before the snap, you can send him on a blitz. You could potentially line him up as a stand-up linebacker and then move him to the line and have him rush. And, you know, if you want to drop like Nolan back or whatever. With N'Kobe, I'm not sure you get that same kind of versatility. I think he's just like a run-stopping linebacker, and I just don't see it. And it sucks because N'Kobe is one of the most exciting draft picks they've had. But, you know, another day where he practices and it's almost like he's not even out there.
I think Bond, you know, just passes the eye test more too. And you saw that on Monday, or sorry, I keep saying Monday, Wednesday, we're already losing track of the days, where Zach Bond breaks up that pass from like a trailing position from Pickett to CJ Uzoma there. And like, I looked up out of curiosity, Zach Bond's arm length on Mock Draftable. It's like 66th percentile arm. Like, he's long arms. And N'Kobe Dean is tiny. Like, if you talk about the alien test that you're referring to yesterday, you drop down an alien and you look at N'Kobe Dean and you look at Zach Bond, you're like, those guys like play the same position.
No, I agree. So I feel the same way I did after day one. I think the best way I've decided to like explain it, like the elevator short explanation, is plan A is Zach Bond. And then plan A is not a competition. Plan A at cornerback, I think, is a competition. That's the difference to me. I think they don't know who's going to start. I think Bond would have to lose the job and N'Kobe would have to win it. And I don't think that's the case at corner.
You, I want to say, Devin, I think corner, I mean, it's just more open too, because I think there's just so many different options like that could happen. Like, because, you know, we're talking about Rodgers and Ringo right now, but I think it's possible. I don't think this is the most likely thing, but I think it's possible that maybe a little bit later in camp, if Quinyon looks good, if he looks good in the preseason games, like, you could easily enter that conversation as a first round pick. So, you know, there's that. And apparently James Bradbury still might play at cornerback, according to Vic Fangio, which I'll believe when I see it.
He's only taken safety reps so far, right?
Yeah. Back second team safety reps. Yes.
Yep. I will say, does he look slimmer to you than last year? Like, looking down from the steps, I thought he looked like, he does look weird out there at safety for sure. He does not have the body type of a safety, but I did think he looked slimmer. Speaking of Fangio though, cause I want to get into this, probably like the biggest story of the day. I thought the biggest quote of the day for sure was Vic Fangio talking about Bryce Huff and him playing against the run. So actually, real quick, like, after the press conference end, Ruben Frank, obviously Rube, arguably the best Eagles beat writer ever, said that Vic Fangio reminded him of Jim Johnson. And I didn't cover Jim Johnson. I was like, I don't know, 10 when he was still here. But I could see it, like, just from watching videos of Jim Johnson and kind of how I picture him talking. Like, Vic Fangio is someone that if they're 1-3, like, he will not hold back. I think he will be up there saying what is wrong. And today he got up there and he talked about Bryce Huff. And the question was basically like, hey, he's been a part-time player. What makes you confident he can do it? And Fangio was like, hey, he's got the ability. We signed him because we think he can do it. But as of today, he can't do it. Like, he was, which I'm shocked. Like, you never hear coaches talk that way. Like, you were there as well. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Like, he should be honest. And I think that'll play well for him here in the city. But like, just, I mean, Howie Roseman can't love hearing like, hey, the guy we paid almost top 15 edge money to, the guy who we're kind of really counting on to replace Hassan Reddick, who has the fourth most sacks in the NFL since 2020. Yeah, like, we're not like sure about, it's not like a definite, like, that's crazy. Like, they gave him a ton of money. He better be a sure thing, or at least as close to it. This isn't like, you know, a guy they're taking a flyer on. This is like a prime, this is their first free agent signing, right? Like, this is, I think, when free agency started, or whatever, the pre-agency.
Yeah,
like,
he was before Saquon. Yep.
Yeah, so like, this is your primary signing. Like, again, I'm not saying he can't, I'm not saying, like, you know, sound the alarms, panic, all hope is lost, but it's, I would like more confidence. And again, I don't think, I'm not mad at Vic for that. I'm just concerned that maybe there's not a full belief there, or that Bryce Huff, you know, clearly does have to show that.
Yeah. And, you know, look, it's worth noting he doesn't have to do it for another month. They don't play for, you know, a month plus, 5 weeks, whatever it is. So he has time to learn to do it. It's not like encouraging that he hasn't been able to do it his whole career. They don't think he can do it now. And they think all of a sudden in 5 weeks, he's going to become a guy that's great against the run. What I'll be curious to see, and where I feel like I fall on this, at least prior to the Vic thing was a little more concerning. I think he'll just play regardless. Like, this will be a great test of how much influence Howie has, because if he's not doing what Vic wants, but Howie paid him all this money and he wants him out there, this will be one of the better, like, you know, test of just how much power Howie has, because he has to be out there. Like, he's still their best defensive end. For, regardless of his flaws, he is, I think, better than Josh Sweat. He's definitely better than Brandon Graham at this point. We have no idea what Nolan Smith is. Like, Huff is their best guy. So, yeah, the Fangio quote wasn't great, but I do still think he'll be out there. It felt almost like an honest assessment that didn't maybe really matter much.
I think he'll be out there. Yeah, and I do think, whereas Howie has a lot of unchecked power in a lot of regards, I don't think that really truly spills into like player playing time. I think that's an area where he basically has to defer to the coaches. I think he would just lose like all the coaches wouldn't want to work with him at all. Like I don't think you would.
Well, get especially Dick coming here has connections around the league.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think Howie is kind of out of that. And I think too, the evidence of that too is I think we would see more young players playing ideally in Howie's world, which we haven't seen always to this point, and the coaches have relied more on the veterans. So interesting comment for sure.
For sure. And like, I think last year until Patricia got here, but in general, I'll just be honest, like the Tuesday press conference with the coordinators are like the easiest checkout thing I think of the week. Like it just didn't really matter. Like Vic Fangio talking is going to be like behind, like every single time he talks, he's going to say something interesting. Did you have any other takeaways from practice in general, like players, moments that stood out that, oh, we'll talk about Trotter in a minute, but any other observations maybe I'm missing?
Not really. I'm looking through my notes here, kind of touched on the tempo, Hurts, everything. I did see Jalix Hunt who's been getting some hype here. So I think you and I saw some others kind of I think
EJ
you
thought, was one of them.
Yeah, had gotten a almost an interception. I don't think that was him. That looked like Terrell Lewis to me from where I was at. But I will say to Jalix Hunt's credit, at one point in practice, the Eagles had a running play where Hunt was lined up, you know, against Jordan Mailata, and Hunt just beat him inside. And he didn't like get in the backfield and actually make the tackle, quote unquote, but like he blew up the play. He disrupted the play and forced the running back to cut back. And after that play, I saw like Jordan Mailata like put his hands on his head. Like he was frustrated that he let that happen. And then Jalix Hunt went to the sideline and got some high fives too. So like, I would say generally, not that I think Jalix Hunt's going to be this amazing player in year one, but I think he's looked a lot more advanced than I thought he would. So I guess that's a good thing.
So you remember like the trust tree, the Jack Fritch trust tree, like way back in the day. All right.
Shout out to the Counterpoint podcast. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So 35 minutes into the pod, I feel like we're in a trust tree safe zone space.
Uh-oh.
Is Mailata having a good camp? Because you brought up, he got beat there. I've seen Huff beat him a few times. He said himself he jumped off sides. Like, again, Mailata is a top whatever tackle. I think even at his worst, if you included both sides, right and left, he's probably a top 20 tackle. I think his potential is clearly like top 10, top 5 or whatever. But like, wasn't super great last year. You brought up this play where Jalix Hunt, who is like very raw, like defensive end who's basically learning the position. Huff, I think, has been getting better of him. Now, I do think these are the players that Mailata struggles with, like the smaller, quicker guys.
Yes.
But I don't know. I just think it's like worth making a little note that through 2 days, I don't think, you know, there's been a few plays where it stood out that Mailata maybe wasn't great on those plays.
Yeah, that hasn't been on my radar yet. I'll, you know, certainly be watching that now. But yeah, I mean, you noted that Mailata can kind of struggle with those players. And in a camp setting, like Joe Osman, you know, would have days where he would like kind of wreck Jordan Mailata or like beat him. True. And Joe Osman was never anything of an NFL player. So, you know, maybe some of that is just it takes some time for Mailata to kind of get ramped up and everything too. And I think he ultimately gets into a rhythm. Yeah.
Which matters. All right. So outside of practice, I just had two more things. If you have anything else, feel free to jump in. One, this is just a fun antidote. Did you see the Devin White text thread thing?
Yeah, with AJ and Jalen, right?
Yeah, so apparently Devin White has known AJ and Jalen for a while, like prior to their NFL careers. They were in different like all-star football games together. And so prior to camp, he texted Jalen and AJ. And this is like talk about Jalen getting like a not safe for work text message where he's just like, this is what I love. It was an empty glass, and he texted Jalen a picture of it and said, let's fill it up daily or something like that. I can just picture Jalen getting it and like hiding it from the significant other, like it was right up his alley. Here's my issue with this. So apparently the group text thread is called responsibility or accountability or something like that. They got to get a better group text thread for that. Like no questions asked. You cannot have a productive, fun group chat when the name is like accountability.
That is funny. I mean, that is funny to envision them like sharing memes or whatever in this group. Right. That's kind of good. Like, yeah.
Each day it's a new cup with a little more water, like just sticking with the bit. I would respect that. if the group code is also just like a glass emoji, I'd be in on that. But they have to change this name if that's the name of it.
But maybe then there's like a bad day, so they empty the cup a little bit more. You know, they keep it really up to date.
Well, it's funny, like, remember all the, like, AJ and Jalen don't get along stuff? It'd be funny if after Jalen had a bad game, AJ sent an empty cup again, and it would just, like, cut the tension with a knife.
Wow.
All right, the only other thing I had, and I didn't see where you were at the end of practice. I was up on the steps watching. So after practice, they do a developmental period where they get all the young guys out there, and they just get them some extra reps. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., at the end of a play, went down, grabbed the back of his leg immediately, was holding on to his hamstring. Trainers came over. They worked on him. They then brought the cart over. He ended up getting on the cart and being carted off. It's important to note it was the end of practice. So it's very possible they were like, just hop on. The cart's already here. Like, you're fine. But curious if you had any perspective or angle on that different than it and what you thought.
Yeah, I was pretty close to that. I didn't see what caused it exactly. But definitely saw him there on the ground, and trainers were rubbing both of the back of his legs, and they helped him up to get on the cart too. And I should know, I feel like a lot of times, I feel like when players get carted off, they're literally like, you know, lifted onto the cart, and usually on the back of the cart where they're like driven. Like Jeremiah Trotter was helped up, and then he stepped onto the passenger seat of the cart. He rode on the front of the cart. And then apparently Jeff McClain is out here saying that seems like a crisis was kind of averted with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. So that's good news. Apparently it isn't, you know, as serious as it could have been, especially on a day where it's like, oh, exciting, he's getting some first team reps, and then to have that bummer happen.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do think the vibe I got, like, he was down and grabbing it for sure. It could have been a cramp. I mean, it wasn't super hot, but it was the end of practice. But the vibe I got was mostly, why don't you get on the cart? The day's over. Like, it's better safe than sorry. So good to hear. It doesn't sound like that's a big deal. So, all right. Anything else from practice before we wrap this bad boy up?
I think that's it.
All right. So I'll give you one final thought. Again, you don't have to, but it's a training camp thought. And don't want to, you know, I'm not ripping the company because they are an institution in Philly, and I'm happy with it there. But like, dude, water ice, like, can we move past water ice as a training camp thing? I'm on the steps today, and there's a water ice, and it's like got to be like lime green, whatever. It's everywhere. Like, it's melted. I see the other reporters getting water ice. I'm like out on water ice at training camp. We want to do pretzels. Like, I can see pretzels. Ooh. That's okay. But I'm out on water ice. I think it's overrated in general, but especially the training camp snack. Like, someone like Howie or Dom Smolinski needs to step in and be like, no more at camp. What do you think?
I don't think it was it there today? It wasn't in its normal spot if it was.
Well, someone was eating it because I saw it all over. Like, someone was doing it.
Did I, like, maybe it was outside? It wasn't where it usually was, and I was thrown off by that. I was like, oh, that's weird.
Well, you're clearly locked in on football, as you should be. That's right. I, meanwhile, was looking to see who was having Rita's or
I personally, I'm a big fan of it there specifically because I feel like it brings me back to life some of those days. I mean, we've been fortunate to start training camp because it's been cloudy and the weather hasn't been like too, it's been a little humid, but it hasn't been like, you know, baking in the sun, brutal 99 degree kind of days, which I'm sure we'll get here at some point. But yeah, on those days, I think it's just absolutely vital to cool down. It's funny, I was talking to Shiel Kapadia, our good friend, about this. He brought up we were talking about that at one point during practice, and he said, I think he was on your side. He wasn't big water ice.
Mouth gets like the color of the water ice. What are you gonna be in post game pressers? Like, it's
kind of funny.
It is a child snack.
But he did say he came around to it because he went to Camden Yards for the Orioles, one of the Orioles Phillies games on Father's Day. It was so hot, and he was like, he had the water ice, and he was like, all right, I see it a little bit. He gets
so
the
he's
point,
in so. On it now.
I think he's not, you know, like full fledged the biggest fan, but he'll tolerate it, I think, more than he used to. So yeah.
All right. Well, as always, Shiel Kapadia disappointing me, a common thread for Shiel. But who never disappoints me, of course, is you. I'm happy you were on once again. And we'll hopefully do it again. So they don't practice tomorrow. Saturday, they do practice. Then we have Gober's Radio right after. I'll be whizzing to Parks with James. But then they get a little more back into it. They're off Sunday, I believe. And then I think Monday, Tuesday, they're back. So we will have more episodes talking about the training camp observations, breaking everything down, and hopefully a bunch more with you. So thanks again for coming on, man. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. As always, as James ended, and I will, he's Elliot, I'm James, and we'll talk to you next time on Go Birds.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.